I need to access videos on YouTube, and it appears that the only way that I can do that is if I have Adobe Flash running. Adobe Flash, when it wants me to upgrade, is my own personal nightmare. Does anyone know either a way to do that with Adobe or a program that would let me get around that so that I can still continue to access the videos I need?
There's a couple of things you could do. One, you can actually start tabbing through that actual upgrade thing and, you know, go I. But it doesn't read anything out. That's the hard way. The other way is actually go to Adobe.com and just, it's a bunch of headings, and one of them just says download Flash Play, and now just download the latest version. The other thing too is, and I think it's called Midnight, which is an installer that actually will install certain applications. You can go to the, you can Google that one, and you can pick like the application you want, and it'll create an installation package for you, and you can download that. But the easiest way is to go to the Adobe website and just download the latest version, and it'll install right over the older version. And another thing too is that once you get installed the latest version, you can go into your control panel under Flash Player, and you go to the Advanced tab. You could actually turn off automatic updates so a little box doesn't pop up in you all the time.
As long as you remember to do it. But the problem with not updating Flash is that they do patches for security flaws and things like that. I found that installer, there seem to be three types of buttons in that. There's one button that always says I, there's one button that doesn't say anything, and there's one button that says Q. I'm pretty sure that the Q button is the quit button.
Yes, but you have to hit it twice.
I've gotten fairly good results, although a little bit flaky, by just hitting the I button whenever I've needed to. And it does work. If you're looking for the kind of positive feedback where you always know that you're in control, you're not going to get it.
Sometimes you think you've installed it, and it says you've successfully installed it, and then you'll get a nag like a week later that you need to update, and there's been no update.
Oh, good.
So there is a problem within Adobe itself.
With JAWS 13 and Office 2007, I can't seem to use the Alt-HXV command in Outlook, regardless of whether I have the ribbon turned on or off. Has anybody else experienced that?
Yes.
And what's the workaround for it?
I haven't found one. I went back to 12. Our work just migrated to Office 2010. And if I'm in Excel, and maybe it's just the way they have it set up and I haven't tweaked it enough, sometimes I can be in an Excel spreadsheet and I can arrow or tab or whatever, and nothing moves, nothing happens.
Yeah, that happened to me with 2007. Sometimes you lose focus and you have to focus away from it and back to it.
I've done it, yeah, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. I've literally had to unload JAWS and reload it to have it come back and actually work in Excel.
A lot of times in the morning when I first start to go into my email, I get this cryptic message that says something like ISIN ribbons something or other, and it won't read any of the fields in dialog boxes.
That's a problem with the JAWS script. It's been around for a couple of versions too.
And I've talked to them about it, and they don't understand. Oh, how can this be? I mean, I literally demonstrated the sucker over the phone. I took the phone, I put it next to the speaker, and I said, okay, listen to this. And I did it, and they were like, oh, we've never seen that before.
There was a rather quirky, weird bug with Braille at one point. And Braille has always been kind of a low priority for Freedom Scientific. I was able to duplicate the results so consistently that I could just make that thing happen anytime I wanted to. And I sent them, I didn't try to do it over the phone, but I sent them email. And I actually got a couple of other people involved in the same thing who reported the same bug. And then I just came around and duplicated the results. And not only did they talk to me about it, but they did actually fix it. And I won't guarantee that that happens all the time, but I guess what I'm saying is that maybe doing the email bug report may be even more effective than the phone one because it gets kicked up to a higher level. I think sometimes when you talk to people on the phone, it depends on which of the reps you get as to whether things go anywhere. And you get the wrong one and it's not going anywhere. Where if you do the electronic bug report, everybody gets to see it.
The supervisor of tech support at Freedom Scientific is pretty responsive. He's a pretty good guy.
Every once in a while, I'm still on JAWS 12. I know JAWS 13 is out there. I haven't tried to mess with it yet. But every once in a while, JAWS gets corrupted. You go to the desktop, it'll say desktop. But then when you start trying to find your icons, it doesn't talk anymore. So I figured, okay, I'll just unload JAWS and I'll load it again. That's worth the past. So you'll Alt-Tab over to JAWS, and you'll do insert F4 to unload JAWS. And then you'll try to bring it back with Alt-Control-J. What happens on my system now is the JAWS icon on the taskbar goes away, but JAWS continues to work. Now you have no control, and you can't kill it anymore.
Yeah.
You have to restart the whole computer.
Try insert Windows F4 to completely unload JAWS, then reload JAWS.
Yeah, because that happens to me. The insert F4 takes JAWS out even of the running applications list.
But it's still kind of
But it's still running.
Yeah.
And I always go to the task manager and unload it that way. Just unload the process. Which is always risky.
Yeah, try to insert Windows F4. That's supposed to kill the process.
In Windows 7 Professional, you can run a virtual XP session. Is there any way to turn off internet access in that XP session so there's just that session can't access the internet?
Well, you could go into the settings of the network configuration and just take out the default gateway and DNS service. That'll kill off the internet.
But isn't that going to do that for everything, Frank?
No, he's talking about just in the virtual machine, right?
Just in the virtual machine.
Yeah, just in control panel, network connections, and then the virtual network card. You just change the settings there. Or disable the card. That's even easier.
So there'll be a separate setting for that card in the XP session?
Yeah, there's a virtualized network card, and you can probably just disable that and actually do what you want to do.
If some programs won't run in Windows 7 64-bit, there's only one reason. I mean, I just have one really old program that I need for a while to like find it.
Trying to run Windows 7 under VMware Fusion still after a few months, and I can't, for the life of me, consistently start Windows. I have to go into the menu and shut it off and start it up again. Sorry, if I command tab, it'll read me Windows program with Alex, you know, with voiceover voice, and I just can't.
One thing is, I think in Fusion, in some versions, you have to go into full screen mode, then you have to actually grab the input with like Command-G or something like that. Did you try full screen mode?
How did you get there?
It's in one of the menus up there. I don't remember, it's probably under the Fusion mode, menu or the View menu. Yeah.
But that information is only available in full screen mode?
Well, sometimes it doesn't really focus on the machine, and as it turns out, you think you're starting up and nothing's really done, you're not really doing it. Done full screen mode, I found out.
Why it's such a low grade of Braille, it's freedom scientific. Why is it such
Low priority?
Low priority, yeah.
The assumption is that there are not nearly as many people in the United States using Braille displays as use speech. I feel that that's also true with Window Eyes and with Ceratec. In the United States, we just don't assume that there are going to be as many people using Braille. As, say, for instance, in Europe, where I think the priority is higher.
Part of that has to do with the cost of Braille displays.
Yeah.
Part of that also has to do with the fact that, you know, still the number of people using Braille is much lower than I think it should be.
Plus, those programs, when they first started out, were really intended to provide speech access.
That's right.
Yes, that's right. Because if you look at JAWS, it's JAWS access with speech. It's
job access with speech.
Job access with speech. It's not job access with
speech
and
Braille.
You know, I think the manufacturers say, okay, where are we going to put our development resources? Part of the problem is a lot of people who use Braille, and I'll count myself among this group, if it doesn't work all that well, I don't complain.
I find now that I suddenly need to type, you know, like full-length letters in Braille, which I haven't had to do in many years, and I've forgotten about punctuation. So I Googled it, and I was looking for some kind of a text file that would list the alphabet, like A is .1, but I want it in text. All I can find on the internet are websites that show you graphical representations of
Word file with that ends a contract.
Yeah.
Send it to me and I'll disseminate it.
Would that Braille list also include computer Braille?
There is a computer Braille code reference card that you can get from NBP for nothing.
You probably can even download it.
Yes, you can. If you go to www.nbp, that's November
Bravo
Papa. .org, or you go to www.braille.com.
I remember when I took the Hadley course, they sent me this wonderful little thing, like sort of like a pocket-sized, you know, little loose-leaf thing with all the contractions, which is a nice little reference to have. Does National Braille Press have something like that?
Just all the contractions? No.
That would be great. Yeah.
Not to my knowledge.
Nice little reference.
You know where you might find that? I'm not sure you can, but here's where I'd look. It's APH.
APH.
I've looked at American Printing House for the Blind.
Got a question about Savvy. Just recently, I was informed that there may be a conflict between 32-bit Savvy devices running on 64-bit computers. Has anyone out there encountered this or heard anything about this? 32-bit Savvy voices being run on 64-bit computers, causing program crashes and things like that. In this case, it's just the native speech engine in Win 7. We've got a Win 7 professional box, and we'll invoke Savvy using DB script or whatever. This is external to anything that we're running, and sometimes it'll crash. But when I do it on my XP box, which is a 32-bit box,
But if you're running a 64-bit machine, wouldn't you then have all the 64-bit voices right on the machine?
Let's say that, you've got a 32-bit XP box. You go buy a new Windows box, and it's Win 7 sitting on a 64-bit machine. Now, what you might do is you might copy your Savvy voices over from the XP machine to your Win 7 machine. Yeah. Win 7 machine will come with, I think, Anna. I think there's one voice.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But if you're using any of the Sevastrals or whatever voices.
Okay. Now that you mention this, I remember the older RealSpeak voices when they were in Savvy, they were 32-bit. Those ones I know will not run on the 64-bit. So it's not limited to whatever you would try.
I can make them work on the Win 7 box, but they're intermittent. Sometimes they crash, and sometimes they don't.
But many 32-bit programs will run on a 64-bit machine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But not because the machine's in 32-bit mode. It's just because the two things are backward compatible. But
I'm suspecting that there's something in the 64-bit Microsoft engine that intermittently collides with 32-bit Savvy voices. That's the sort of thing I wouldn't be surprised at.